WPFWFM.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and you are tuned into WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
You're in DC or the surrounding areas. Your dial is on 89.3 WPFW Washington. This is listener supported community powered radio. It's the fourth Monday. And so this is Shug's Line, aka Sweet Corey Bay. And I'm here broadcasting for the Inside Out LGBTQ Radio Collective. What a journey it has been, just being with Inside Out and all the amazing programming that comes from the station at large, but specifically our collective, which is a group of different broadcasting hosts who we all are here creating programming that's taking you inside the diverse perspectives of the LGBTQ queer community. We look at everything on the show from pop culture to politics through an inclusive lens, and Inside Out is one of the only shows of this kind on the FM dial and one of only a handful in the country that is specifically and intentionally put together to take you inside of the LGBT community. And again, I'm Sweet Corey Bay, aka Shug's Line, and I'm here. I'm your host on the fourth Mondays from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern time. And yeah, I'm just super excited to share what I have for you all today. My show today has a theme, and it's mental health awareness. In general, I'd say a mental health awareness month is in May. That is when it is usually observed, but I feel that mental health is an evergreen topic. Mental Health Awareness Month has been observed in the U.S. since 1949, and according to the National Institute of Mental Illness, as many as one in five U.S. adults, so that's 59.3 million people, struggle with mental illness. And so the song selections today kind of will allow us to sort of like talk through different themes about mental health, mental illness, mental health awareness, and yeah, I'm excited. So let's get into a little bit of Minnie Riperton and Stevie Wonder with Take a Little Trip.
Take a little trip in your mind and explore it. Always wants to have your way.
Get it all.
The song you just heard was In the Thick of It by Brenda Russell from her self-titled album released in 1979. This is Sweet Corey Bay here on WPFW Washington, broadcasting for the Inside Out Radio Collective. And I feel like I'm broadcasting live from the thick of it. The theme of our show is mental health awareness, and that is awareness inside of the world that we're in right now, that is making itself known to us in ways that I don't believe are necessarily unprecedented, but just in a very unique way right now. I feel that, you know, we are seeing, you know, a lot of social collapse, social and moral collapse, as, you know, folks in this country and around the world are just being denied their basic human rights. If it's, you know, folks in stage five of famine, a man-made famine in Palestine, you know, just being occupied, and just seeing every day, you know, you can go online and you can see people who are being starved to death and being denied humanitarian aid. Or, you know, you could just look around this country. We can look around the city of Washington, D.C. and see people who are, you know, denied the basic human right of housing while empty units go up, you know, and all of those things, they take a toll on us. They take a toll on our mental health and our mental wellness. And I think it's important to take stock of those things, to kind of remain aware of those things. And, you know, when Brenda Russell is singing, it's almost like everything is going to be okay, broadcasting live from the thick of it. But again, the songs today, they all are going to kind of help us move through and speak about different aspects of mental health awareness. That's the theme of the show. And just before that, we heard Take a Little Trip. Take a Little Trip in Your Mind is how the song goes. It's by Minnie Riperton. It was written for her by Stevie Wonder from her 1974 release, Perfect Angel. And that's an iconic album cover where Minnie Riperton has a melting ice cream cone in her hand, which, you know, also in, you know, unprecedented times, this has been one of the hottest years on record. This is, you know, just temperature fluctuations, whether it's cold, whether it's hot, whether it's rainy one day and sunny the next and dry for like the whole next month. Again, just being aware of these things, it can definitely take a toll on you, and sort of thinking about where are we headed, what's going on. But anyway, like I said, it seems like everything can be okay when we're listening to Minnie Riperton and Stevie Wonder singing a duet, which I specifically chose the version where they are singing a duet. It's actually not on that record. If you find it, it's just Minnie Riperton solo, which is also beautiful. But yeah, I just chose to include that version. But I think it would be helpful to potentially let's ground into some definitions about what is mental health. I'm going to go with a definition from the World Health Organization, where mental health is defined as a state of mental well-being that enables people to cope with the stresses of life, realize their abilities, learn well, work well, and contribute to their community. It is an integral component of health and well-being that underpins our individual and collective abilities to make decisions, build relationships, and shape the world we live in. So mental health is a basic human right, and it is crucial to personal, community, and socioeconomic development. So that's kind of a loaded definition with a lot of different parts. So let's break it down a little bit. Mental health is experienced differently from one person to the next. What sort of encourages mental health in one person, it might not do the same for another person. But everyone is sort of entitled to things that hopefully bring them to those abilities to contribute to their community, to realize their own abilities, to learn and work well with others. Because it's so integral. It's so important to, you know, the things that allow us to be human, that allow us to be adult, to just, you know, really shape the world that we live in. So more than just an absence of mental disorders, which is, you know, functioning with varying degrees of difficulty and distress with very different social and clinical outcomes. Mental health is more than just the absence of those different disorders. But it's also important to realize that mental health conditions, they include mental disorders and psychosocial disabilities, as well as other mental states associated with significant distress, impairment in functioning, or risk of self-harm. All of these things kind of are working together, have a different interplay. So while you may not be a person that lives with a specific psychosocial disability or with a mental disorder, you may have another mental health condition like depression or anxiety or other things that sort of are associated with, again, significant distress and sort of the challenges associated with meeting some of those facets of the World Health Organization definition that I mentioned before. So when it comes to people with mental health conditions, it's important to think about how those folks are more likely to experience lower levels of mental well-being and all the many myriad of ways that having mental well-being or not can look. But it's also important to note that this is not always necessarily the case. So I think that, you know, awareness can definitely start at having a clear definition to operate from, but also figuring out what an individual baseline for yourself is when it comes to awareness of your own mental health, about the things that you may struggle with, about how you feel and function on a day-to-day basis, about what challenges arise for you when it comes to dealing with other people. And when you establish that baseline, you start to be able to see how things in the world around you and the relationships around you may impact your ability to be at that base level of feeling like you can get through it, feeling like you can move from the thick of it to another dimension of the problem or of this lifetime, because that's what we're doing. We're moving through life. We're moving as individuals in a continuum of self, but also in a larger continuum of community. We're trying to respond to each other. We're trying to see change and leave the world a better place than how we found it by, you know, being our most authentic selves. And again, people with those mental health conditions are more likely to experience lower levels of mental well-being. And those things can become consistent and pervasive over time and just really impact how an individual moves throughout their life. But I think that's all I have on the definition. So I hope that you can kind of just sit with those things as we move into more music that is related to our theme of mental health awareness. And we'll go into a classic tune, "Someday We'll All Be Free" by Donny Hathaway.
Days will soon be here. Take again. Thank you.
This is Sweet Corey Bay, aka Shug's Line, on WPFW Washington, broadcasting for the Inside Out LGBT Radio Collective. The song that you just heard was Feeling That the Feeling's Good from Minnie Riperton's 1975 Adventure in Paradise, another iconic album cover with her holding the lion, just sitting in like all of these flowers, just absolutely brilliant. And before that, we heard Someday We'll All Be Free by Donny Hathaway from the 1973 Extensions of a Man. I have another Extensions of a Man song, another song from that record on the playlist of tunes today. The theme of our show is mental health awareness, but also just some history, excuse me, about mental health, about mental wellness and mental disorders, about how it's developed in over time in the United States and globally. And we'll talk more about that. It's now the half hour, so we'll go into a station break.
The mayor's budget proposal before the city council would dismantle the DC Healthcare Alliance that provides critical healthcare coverage to low-income residents, mostly immigrants, who don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid. The alliance was created in 2001 in the wake of the closing of our only public hospital, DC General, to cover very low-income residents and immigrants, part of our historic commitment as a sanctuary city. Mayor Bowser's budget includes many things that will harm our low-income and working-class residents. Drastic healthcare cuts are a top priority and will likely strain emergency health services for the city. Cuts proposed to the alliance will compromise or end healthcare for 28,000 of our most vulnerable residents, few if any of whom will be able to afford private health insurance. Given the all-out assault on the people by the executive branch, the Congress, and the Supreme Court, the need for the alliance will clearly increase. The fact is, we keep us safe. With $48 million in next year's budget, the council could fund the alliance and continue protecting 28,000 DC lives. The DC council must put residents first and not double down on the harms that federal lawmakers have already caused our immigrant neighbors, our communities, our country, our democracy. Let us be clear, cutting the alliance now sentences thousands of our neighbors to death. This is unacceptable. As DC residents, we expect our city council members to address these budgetary concerns. The final vote takes place on Monday, July 28th. We keep us safe. This has been Michelle Tingling Clemens for To Heal DC, a Ward 7 resident, LSB member, and longtime WPFW listener with a WPFW editorial.
That's Donny Hathaway with Flying Free from 1973's Extensions of a Man, which actually was his last full-length album, his last full-length solo album that he released before his untimely passing. A little earlier in the segment today, I got the chance to play Someday We'll All Be Free, which is another iconic track from Extensions of a Man. And the story goes about that record that it was written for Donny Hathaway by his friend and manager at the time. And his friend, his manager, was witnessing Donny Hathaway struggle with paranoid schizophrenia, with that diagnosis of that particular mental health disorder, which eventually, I would say, claimed his life. You know, Donny Hathaway unfortunately did take his own life in the midst of struggling with paranoid schizophrenia. And I read a lot of history, you know, where sort of his family members would share about what his experience was like when he would go through some of those more intense episodes of battling with that condition, where he would take medication and as it would start to improve his outlook and his wellness, then he would stop and then sort of be subject to the same symptoms. And it was just a really vicious and intense cycle. But, you know, his manager and him together ended up putting forward that song, Someday We'll All Be Free. And I also think it's very much echoed by that last piece we heard, Flying Easy, where, you know, it just sort of, you hear about a release. You hear about a kind of ease and freedom and wellness that I think could really illuminate the theme of our show today, which is about mental health awareness, because I think it speaks to feeling unencumbered. It speaks to not being weighed down. And oftentimes when an individual finds themselves in a mentally challenged space where their mental health may not be sort of like at a point that's allowing them to meet themselves, their responsibilities, their community, the world around them, it's very bound. It could be a very restrictive space. It could be a very challenging space. So again, all the music today that we're choosing is going to kind of help us open up this theme. And we're about to get into some really important history. I'm Sweet Corey Bay, aka Shug's Line. I'm the newest member of the Inside Out LGBT Radio Collective that's here on WPFW on Monday evenings. And I am going to sort of shift this topic of mental health awareness to sort of focus in a little bit on the specific history of LGBTQ folks in this country and mental health awareness, specifically from a scientific, professional, psychiatric lens. And kind of going through this history, I think, illuminates a lot of what sort of the current social zeitgeist is when it comes to the community. I think that I've heard a lot, let's say, in like maybe the past decade, maybe even the past 20 years, where people are like, why is everyone LGBT all of a sudden? Where are all these people coming from? And I think there's a key point in there where LGBT folks have existed since the beginning of time. But what is considered normal in culture, how our community is perceived through cultural lens and through people who are making scientific distinctions and things like that, it has undergone a lot of shifts since the 1970s. And it's also funny, too, because a lot of the music that I am playing today, all of it actually, is from the 1970s. I, Sweet Corey Bay, myself, I'm a fan of a lot of things that are anachronistic. I am an avid vinyl collector, recently I've gotten into cassette tapes, so that has been a whole thing. That's just the kind of person I am, and I am rightfully pegged as an old soul. Sometimes people and myself, I have been known to say that I think that I was born in the wrong time, but I actually do not believe that anymore. I'm very happy that I exist in the current timeline that I am in, especially as I go back and look at the history. So we'll talk about something called the DSM. The DSM is a handbook that is used by healthcare professionals in the United States and much of the world as an authoritative guide to the diagnosis of mental disorders. That is what that DSM stands for. So when you hear me say that, I'm talking about this book that's used by healthcare professionals. And the first edition of the DSM, it was created in 1952. There was a couple of books that sort of predated it that sort of were also used in a similar fashion by psychiatric healthcare professionals to evaluate and name different conditions that patients experience and presented as. It also named treatments. But in the very first 1952 edition of the DSM, homosexuality specifically was classified as sexual deviation. It was considered a sociopathic personality disturbance. I'm saying that with quotations. I don't know if you can hear the quotations in my voice over the radio, but they are there. It was considered that way. It was categorically considered a personality disorder. So that very much shaped the way that folks who were in the LGBT community were treated at large and by society. The information that we have about these folks was interpreted through the lens of mental health disorders. And sexual deviation diagnosis of homosexuality, it also included things like transvestism, pedophilia, fetishism, and sexual sadism. These were all examples. All of these things were lumped together in 1952. So doctors, if you came to them, if you were outed, if folks knew you to be someone who was a part of the LGBT community, you were considered someone, necessarily someone, who had a mental disorder. Not struggles necessarily with your mental health, but you were considered to have a mental disorder or a disability. Now, even back in 1952, this sort of designation in the DSM blatantly ignored research from professionals that debunked that LGBTQ identified folks were mentally ill. And in fact, it is known that the data sets that were used for the DSM in 1952, it used a lot of data from LGBT identified folks who also struggled with mental disorders. So these two things aren't necessarily the same, but the data sets, the culture at the time had it being labeled this way. So, you know, this is kind of what is in popular culture, in the community. This is kind of how things are going. But then the 1970s roll around. We get all of the amazing music that we heard in the show. We get Donny Hathaway. We get at the top of 1970, we get Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. We get, you know, Stevie Wonder rolling into his classic period. We get a lot of music that I really, really love that is included in the show. But anyway, there's a lot going on in the history also in 1974. I'm focusing clearly on all of the good things in the music, but 1974 was also, you know, when DSM-2 comes out, the second edition of this book that mental health professionals are using comes out. And gay liberation organizing sees a major shift in the text. Gay liberation organizing in the 1970s, of course, we have the flashpoint of the riots at Stonewall, which have now sort of become coded in popular history as, you know, associated with the LGBT rights movement. But I think it's also very important to note that the Stonewall riots were riots against police brutality. The police in New York City, and really, you know, globally, we see the police in our city, in Washington, D.C., in Philadelphia, all over this country, we see abuses of power from the police against marginalized communities, not just marginalized communities, but the community at large. The community that the police is meant to serve, quote unquote, is actually being terrorized by folks who have this power. And so Stonewall happens. It's a riot against police. It becomes a flashpoint in the LGBT rights movement and also in another space of the APA, which is the American Psychiatric Association. We have people sort of organizing to say that homosexuality by itself, it does not constitute a psychiatric disorder. It should not be listed as a psychiatric disorder in this manual for healthcare professionals to look at members of the LGBT community who may be dealing with any myriad of health issues, mental or otherwise. These things do not belong here. So there was a lot of organizing that happened. Some LGBT members of the APA Association, LGBTQ identified psychiatrists specifically, they come forward at a time where they were hiding their identities from colleagues. They came forward backed by research, and they kind of, you know, got a shift in the DSM to happen, where then the APA has to publish a statement that sort of starts to urge an end to specifically anti-homosexual discrimination and to decriminalize private sexual acts between consenting adults because homosexuality was considered illegal. But the APA still made it clear that it did not endorse the view that homosexuality was a normal variant in the very wide spectrum of human sexuality. They still didn't come down clear on that. So time sort of shift a little bit. Gay rights organizers specifically and the gay, the GLB, the gay, lesbian, bisexual movement consider this a very big win because it sort of begins to decriminalize homosexual and queer identities. But time wears on. We get to the 1980s and the APA is still trying to really hit a middle of the road stance. And they create a new category that they term psychosexual disorders. And inside of that, they include gender identity disorders. So that's transgender peoples. They include a category of things called paraphilias and a lot of different things. But the key thing to focus on here is that the DSM, this book, it then focuses on the desire of a queer individual to be heterosexual. They sort of assume that people are experiencing unwanted, distressing homosexual arousal that gets in their way of being heterosexual. And this is the tension. This is the basis of the mental, quote unquote, mental disorder that being LGBT is. It's inside of people's tension and feeling like they don't want to be queer. Meanwhile, sort of ignoring the social conditions where queer people are being victimized, where they're being attacked by police, where they're being shunned by society, shunned by family. There's no protections in the job workplace. Like, there's a lot of things that are going on that might contribute to an individual's personal tension and the mental distress that comes from being, or sort of like, you know, understanding that you're a queer person. That has nothing to do at all with, you know, the person themselves, but more the larger social conditioning of the thing. And I think that this really stood out to me because the APA, the American Psychiatric Association in the 1980s, sort of striking this middle of the road stance, it becomes the basis of legitimizing pseudoscientific practices of conversion therapy. Conversion therapy is where an individual's sexual, romantic orientation, gender identity, and gender expression is attempted to be changed to align with cisgender and heterosexual norms. I'm emphasizing pseudoscientific. This is not based in any proven scientific method that people can change their sexual romantic orientation or their gender identity. But because of the way that mental disorders and mental health and mental distress are categorized by professionals in the countries through the 1950s, 1970s, 1980s, we have this movement spring up of conversion therapy, which I think has a very specific importance to name as pseudoscientific, as not rooted in any kind of medical truth, because there are still conversion therapy programs at religious places all over the Washington, D.C. metro area, specific in a lot of like different Baptist Christian communities. I can speak to that from personal experience, that this pseudoscientific practice still has a root. And some of the methods that are used in conversion therapy have included brain surgery, chemical hormonal castration, aversion therapy treatments like electric shock, hypnosis, spiritual abuse or intervention, psychoanalysis, reconditioning, all matter of things that will not ultimately change a person's sexual orientation or gender identity, and frequently causes significant long-term psychological harm, not because someone is queer, not because someone is trans, not because someone is not heterosexual or cisgender, but because they are abused through conversion therapy and the definition of a mental disorder when it comes to how we identify homosexuality and identify trans identity that says there's some kind of tension and psychological problem when a person is this way. And so as time wears on, we get to the year 2013, when DSM-5 comes out, and finally, through a lot of different organizing, we get to understand that there should be no inclusion of any mental disorder, no diagnostic category that should be applied to people based on their sexual orientation or their gender identity. Some scholars that argued have that only this can be considered complete declassification of non-heterosexual sexual orientation of mental disorders, that this inclusion the DSM. So it's very recent. 2013 is only a decade ago, that in the very sort of insular world of American medicine and psychiatric sort of diagnosis, that the culture is beginning to understand that folks that have LGBT identities are not necessarily folks who are struggling with a mental disorder based on the basis of their sexuality. So I think that when we sort of look at the community, if we look at current talking points of people who really struggle to sort of integrate this more modern and sort of scientifically backed understanding that some people just are queer. Some people are just homosexual. Some people are just transgender. It just exists in the natural spectrum of human difference, that we can sort of separate these folks and separate ourselves and kind of get to greater clarity about what struggles or what challenges that we might be facing when it comes to mental health awareness, when it comes to the disorders that people might face that sort of make them challenge to hit a healthy baseline of mental health. And I also thought that it was very, very interesting that, you know, as sort of this shift happens from the 1950s all the way to 2013, specifically to between like 1980 and the 2013 edition of the DSM, that including gender identity and homosexual identity in the DSM, it was a result of political compromises rather than scientific evidence. There was also a lot of arguments that sort of said that neither diagnosis met the definition of a disorder. And critics were able to point out that by the same logic that homosexuality and trans identity was included in the DSM diagnosis of psychiatric disorders, short people that were unhappy with their height could also have been considered mentally ill, could also be considered folks that are like having some kind of tension socially that applies to, you know, their ability to sort of, you know, meet their lives. And also, in case it's not clear, you know, the sarcasm there is that short people, the same way as homosexual people, or people of any kind of queer, on the queer sexuality spectrum or gender identity spectrum, they do not necessarily have mental disorders or mental health struggles. And by and large, it comes from social aspects of dealing with the culture that sort of had enshrined an idea that this is abnormal, there's something wrong, and tried to codify that into and make a scientific basis for that when it wasn't true. So I think that, again, this is Inside Out Radio. You're listening to WPFW 89.3. It's the Inside Out LGBT Radio Collective. So I'm excited to kind of bring this lens specifically to mental health awareness. And, you know, I'm kind of coming to the end here. I do want to play one more track, but sort of in closing from that big lump of history, my last song selection is by the incredible Sylvester, who is a queer and trans icon. I'm going to play the song I Took My Strength From You from the 1978 album Step 2, which also gave me You Make Me Feel Mighty Real. I just wanted to sort of tie things up by saying that we're taking our strength from the folks that came before us, that clarity, resources, opportunity, and understanding to grow exists if we choose to take it, that there's so much shifts that have happened culturally that allow us to get to the moment that we're in right now as LGBTQ people who are in this community, who are in the Washington, D.C. community, who are in the WPFW community, and just in the global community. We're getting to a point of sort of unprecedented visibility and being able to speak our truths, which is perhaps evidenced by, you know, me, Sweet Corey Bay, being able to come here and talk to you guys about this on listener-supported radio, that I'm put here as a part of this collective because WPFW values putting forward this kind of perspective and this kind of voice that sort of will start to shift the culture. But I think that through embracing a more open understanding of what mental health is, how our understanding of what mental health disorders are, how they're changing, it can sort of start to shift the cultural attitude towards queer people as we shift the cultural attitude towards ourselves. And I think that's really sort of all I had to say. There was kind of a lot that was here in this brief time that we shared together. But I hope you just enjoy what you can of this closing selection of I Took My Strength From You by Sylvester. And I hope that you continue to tune into the Inside Out Collective on Mondays from 6 to 7 p.m. And if you are interested in connecting with me, you can find me on Instagram at Shug's Line. That's S-H-U-G-S-L-I-N-E, Shug's Line. Or you can reach me at shugsline@gmail.com if you have any questions or you're interested in more information about this episode. And just let's enjoy Sylvester with I Took My Strength From You. Thank you so much.
I met you.